LLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom and welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. I hope for the last few weeks you have enjoyed mightily those teachings that we've done about who is Amalek and is Islam the beast. I know some of the teachings are very challenging, but I think it's exciting when we can take the word of Yahweh, with the word of Yah and the Tanakh and the Torah and the Bechadasha, the old and the new, put it together and really get those revelations that the Father, the creator of the universe, has been trying to reveal to his sons and his daughters for the last few thousand, hundreds of generations. But I think we are in the threshold of the coming of the Messiah. So therefore, we need to understand certain biblical principles. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start a series of teachings, and I hope that you don't miss one of the episodes, because then you're going to lose the sequence. I'm going to try to attempt to answer the question, what is the gospel? Every single one of us have been told that you need to accept the Messiah, Yeshua, as your Messiah, correct? But they don't really explain to you, first of all, what is the confession of faith? And we're going to cover that in a different teaching later on. They don't even tell you what the gospel is and to whom it's supposed to be given to. Now, we understand right off the get-go, please, I want to make this disclaimer. The gospel, the good news to accept the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, is for anyone who calls upon his name. There is no doubt about that. But you have to understand that there is a biblical requirement of order in the house. Now, we are going to study to the original understanding in the first century to whom Messiah came to speak to. Now, if you give me enough time and you stick through all this series of teachings, you're going to get an idea why Messiah needed to resurrect from the dead. By the way, no one ever teaches on that I know of. I'm not the only one. There's other teachers that I know that are doing that. But where I grew up, nobody was telling me why the resurrection was so significant. I need to know. You see, also, what is the gospel? Why is it so important that a Gentile who has never been in covenant with the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the Elohim of Israel, why is it so important for a Gentile to be compelled to accept and to come into a marriage covenant with the creator of the universe and the word of Yah and the one who made the covenant in Mount Sinai? We need to ask these questions because we need to understand to whom we belong to. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11 that we are grafted in to a tree. But who is the tree? We know the root is Messiah, Yeshua. He is the root out of dry ground. We need to understand this principle. So I will do my best and attempt to answer these questions throughout this series of teachings. All I'm always going to tell you is this. Do not believe anything I say. Verify everything I say. And that's going to be my slogan from now on. I want you to be provoked to go back to Scripture and verify everything that I do. Now, remember, we're not talking about salvation right now. We're not talking about questioning whether you're saved or not. If you have confessed the Messiah as your Savior and you're living a lifestyle according to Scripture, you are part of the Commonwealth of Israel according to Ephesians chapter 2. You are part of Israel as a people, and we are going to prove this through this teaching. So let's get right to the PowerPoint. The question is, what is the gospel? You know, many people tell us what is the gospel, but they don't really explain it to us. Good news to what? A Gentile has never been in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the one who did, which was Abraham, he crossed over. He came over to the promised land. He crossed over. He became a Hebrew. He was from Ur, and he crossed over, and he became a Hebrew, Ibri. So now he crossed over, he changed his lifestyle, and he now married into a covenant. He came into a covenant. So the marriage of Messiah to the house of Jacob. When you see the word Jacob in Scripture, is usually in reference to the 12 tribes of Israel. The house of Israel, the house of Jacob. Now you got to understand that what you're seeing in the screen right now is what it is a ketuvah. The ketuvah is a marriage contract. If you have a Hebrew wedding, like I've had a Hebrew wedding, you have to sign a marriage contract. That's exactly what the children of Israel, you know, came into an agreement when the commandments were given in Mount Sinai. When the commandments were given in Sinai, basically, when they accepted the covenant, they signed with their mouth, they confessed to come into a covenant of marriage with the creator of the universe. So the ketuvah, basically what it is in a normal, literal wedding on the earth, is a conditions of the covenant. That's where the male tells the bride what are the conditions, what is he going to provide, what is he going to give her. So therefore, the same thing happens to the commandment of Mount Sinai. Now, as we keep going, let's go to the words of Yeshua, or the words of the Torah, I'm sorry. And Yahweh said these words about Israel. Now, there is a covenant of marriage, but then there's a condition to the covenant of marriage. That it says, I will scatter them into the corners. I will make the remembrance of them to cease from among them. But why? Why did he say those words? Because they have disobeyed the commandments of God. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 13 says, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. On my Sabbath, in the plural, they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. Verse 14. But I wrought it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen. By the way, the word heathen there is the word goy there, which means Gentile. So I highly recommend to some of my believers in the Messiah never to call yourself a Gentile. Because the Bible, it doesn't really find the word Gentile anywhere. It's the word heathen or the word in Hebrew, goy, goyim. And it basically means murderer, idolater, a heathen, an adulterer. You don't want to call yourself those things because now you are what? You are redeemed by the blood of the Messiah. So therefore, you are part of Israel, part of the holy nation, a priestly nation, according to 1 Peter and according to Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 19, I'm sorry. Going back to the verse in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 13. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 23 says, I lifted up my hand unto them, also in the wilderness, and I will scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they have not executed my judgments, but have despised my statutes, and have polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Now, that's really, really interesting, because in John, we get this. The leaders of Israel, they knew about this. In John chapter 7, verse 33 says, Then said Yeshua unto them, ye, a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, whither you cannot come. Then said the Jews, listen to the verse, it's very significant. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither he will go, that we shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? So therefore now, the leaders of Israel understood that there was a dispersal of Israel. By the way, after the Babylonian captivity, not all of Judah came back from Babylon. After the kingdom of Solomon was dissolved, in other words, because of Solomon breaking the commandments and worshiping the gods of his wives, the kingdom was rent. 10 tribes of the 12 went to the north to Jeroboam. Remember the prophet when he came to Solomon and says, take out the garment, and they divided it in 12 pieces. He gave 10 pieces to Jeroboam and 2 pieces to his son Rehoboam. After the kingdom and Solomon died, the kingdom was rent. Because of high taxes that Solomon instituted in Israel, and also Rehoboam did the same thing to his followers, Jeroboam in the northern kingdom decided to divide the kingdom up. So now you have, after Solomon dies, and this is what is very, very important, because prior to Solomon, it was always the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, all 12 tribes together. But now after his death, you're going to have a separation of the kingdom. You have the northern kingdom of Israel, which, by the way, these are the names that you're going to see it all through the prophets, all through the Tanakh. The house of Samaria, the house of Israel, the house of Ephraim. See what I mean? They're dispersed, they're scattered, they're divorced. And we're going to cover some of this. By the way, I'm setting the foundation so you'll understand why he needed to resurrect from the dead, which it includes us. Not only that, but why is it that he came to preach certain words in certain aspects of things in a certain way? And this is why we're going to study. So now when we go back, he says, you know, that he will go on to the dispersed. Wait a minute. We know after the Babylonian captivity, not all of the Jews came back because what? The story of Esther. The story of Esther, the Jews came back from Persia and Babylon. They came back to Israel, but a lot of them stayed behind because of comfort. They didn't want to come back. So therefore, he raised up a what? An adversary. Who was it? Haman. Who was Haman? A descendant of Amalek. You get it? Follow the same thing. To what? To provoke them to call upon the name of the Lord and come back to Israel. But they didn't. Now, the northern kingdom were dispersed through Assyria. The kingdom of Assyria came through, and then they went into all the nations of the earth, and according even to the ultra-orthodox, they were dispersed, and they were no longer found. So now you have something that very significant here. You have something very significant in which you have to understand that the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, the nation in which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were in covenant with the God of creation, Yahweh used Abraham to bring forth his commandments. Why was it that Abraham was so much loved by the Creator? Let's go to Genesis chapter 26. I don't have it on my PowerPoint, and I'm very scatterbrained sometimes, so bear with me. In this session, we're not really going to cover a lot of ground, but we're going to do it a series. That way you can stay with me. See, in Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, it says, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." In the Hebrew, the word laws there is Torot or Torah. The word Torah doesn't mean law like you and I know it. See, in the Greek, when you're trying to do the separation and the definitions of some of those things that are happening, when you say do's and don'ts, law, okay, seems very strict. But in the Hebrew, it takes a different type of understanding. The word law in Hebrew is Torah, and the word Torah doesn't really mean laws, it means instructions. And that's basically what's happening here. Because Yahweh knew that Abraham would teach his instructions to his descendants and his descendants forever. So now what it is there are the scattered sheep of Israel. Why did that happen? Why did the scattered sheep were scattered among the nations? Because of idolatry. Because of forsaking Yahweh, their maker and their husband. So now, when we go to Matthew chapter 10, let's see what Yeshua said. Yeshua sent out the 12, commanding them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the nations." The word there for nations can be translated into the Hebrew is goy. So wait a minute, we got a problem here. Because Yeshua is saying, do not go into the way of the nations and do not enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We got a problem now. Because Yeshua is giving you specific instructions about who Israel is. Who are the lost sheep? Where do you find those chapters in regards to the lost sheep? How would the lost sheep will be restored back to the Father? Ezekiel 34. How the lost sheep will be restored back? Ezekiel 37. You know, we see all those prophecies. And this is why in this last few years, especially the last 10 years, you have an awakening to return back to the Hebrew roots. Why? Because the 10 tribes that have been scattered abroad, which the ultra-Orthodox say they're lost, but in reality they're scattered. They are dispersed. They're hearing the voice of their pastor. And they're returning back to the ways of old. The old ways, which is, in the Hebrew understanding, is the Torah. That's why I am here. That's why there's so many people within Christianity waking up and returning back, listening to the shofar, playing Messianic music, Hebrew music, doing Davidic dancing, studying the Hebrew scriptures. Why is that? It has not been known for the last 2,000 years, but not all of a sudden everybody's interested about this stuff. It is prophetic. It is the sign that the 12 tribes are returning, are well coming back, and the Messiah is getting ready to come. And this is how we can prove to some other people what is happening. So let's go back to the verse. Let's find out a little bit more who the last sheep of Israel are. Now in Matthew 15, verse 24, he answered and said, "I am not sent except to the last sheep of the house of Israel." And you know, if you read this chapter, it's very peculiar, man. He's talking to that woman, the Canaanite woman, Canaan woman, you know, who has a need, man. This lady has a need. All of a sudden, Yeshua says, "Yo, man, I'm not set except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, we need to understand what that means. Was Yeshua saying that she didn't matter? No. See, let me ask you something. Could you preach to the world if your house is not in order? Could you go out and preach to the world and bring the message of salvation, restoration, and reconciliation to the whole world if your house is out of order? Absolutely not. So Messiah, the role of Adam in the beginning was that he will multiply and be fruitful so he can teach the world about the creator of the universe. So the whole world can come into the knowledge of the creator and we can all be worshipers of Yahweh in one consent and one accord. He failed. Then he chose Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And out of Abraham's obedience, then came Isaac. And of Isaac's obedience, then came Jacob, all right? So now we got Jacob, and his wives give birth to 12 sons. Now, Yahweh chooses the lineage of Abraham, so now he can be the light unto the world, because he knew that Abraham would teach his descendants the commandments of Yahweh. Now, Israel's role on the earth is very simple. We are supposed to be the light unto the world. We are supposed to be the salt of the world. We're supposed to give the world the taste of the Creator. You see, when you have salt and you put it on meat, the meat doesn't take... the salt doesn't take the flavor of the meat. The meat takes the flavor of the salt. So what is happening in mainstream believers right now is that right now we are mixing in the worldly things with the believing and the biblical things, and there's no longer a distinction between holy and profane. We have to be very careful with that. Why? Because Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, they did that. They started offering up sacrifices to the golden calf, Jeroboam. He built two golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Tel Dan. Dan means judge. Bethel means house of God. Guess what? The house of God was judged, and they were scattered abroad. So therefore, Messiah needs to bring the message of reconciliation to the whole world, but he cannot do it until he restores his own house first, and then he uses his house to bring forth the message of the good news to the whole world. Come back to the covenant, because Messiah restored us back to him again. Let's go back to the text. Now, who did Peter was talking to? 1 Peter 1:1. Scattered of Israel. This is very intriguing. 1 Peter, an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to the scattered, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. People don't really pay that much attention to verse 1 or chapter 1, but in that letter, Peter is letting you straight up who he's writing to. He's not writing to the Gentiles, because they're, you see, the scattered, a Gentile cannot be scattered on his own land, can he? You can only be scattered if you are living away from your homeland, correct? So here we see that Peter is talking to who? To the strangers. Who are strangers? The dispersed of Israel, scattered throughout Pontus in Galatia. Now when you go back and read the book of Galatians, you start wondering to who he was talking to. Because we have evidence in 1 Peter that he's saying that there were strangers scattered. Is that making sense to you? Strangers also can mean what? Ger, people who are keeping the commandments of God. Now in James 1:1 says, James, a servant of Elohim and of the Adonai Yeshua, the Messiah, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So let me ask you a question. Messiah comes to the earth. He is bringing the plan of restoration. He's getting ready to renew the covenant of Israel, because his sheep are scattered all over the world. Now, once he comes and he dies and resurrects from the dead, he sends out how many disciples? 12, and then 70. Two by twos to go preach the gospel, to go preach the good news. See, it's funny, because 70 means the nations. 12 means the perfect government, Israel. So he's, you know, I hope this is making sense to you. Go back and look it up. It's very interesting, okay? So now, when we go to the next slide, let's find out why he needs to resurrect from the dead. I'm hoping I could cover this in the next 8 minutes. So, in Jeremiah 3:1 says this. They said, if a man pulls away his wife, if you can go to the screen, I really would appreciate that. Right there, it says, now this is how we're going to study. Because, you see, this is what Paul is trying to tell you in Romans chapter 7. But, you see, people use that chapter to say the law is done away with, and Paul is not saying that. He's trying to explain to the people, because in chapter 7, later on in chapter 11, he's letting you know that you are grafted in. He's trying to teach you how you are grafted in. So therefore, in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1 says this. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me again, says Yahweh. Wait a minute, we got a problem. Let's see what Deuteronomy chapter 24 says. Actually, let me keep going here. In verse 8 and 9, and then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 24. I think I'm going to have time to do this one. And I saw that for all the causes whereby backslidden Israel committed adultery, I have put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Now, a lot of people make mistakes. A lot of people, especially when they read the New Testament out of context, they say that, see, God divorced Israel, all of Israel. That's not true. And when we keep reading, you're going to see this. You see, the reason why Yahweh gave a bill of divorce, it's not like he can divorce his bride. He can never divorce her. He gave her a bill of get. She, the one who divorced him by sleeping with other gods. She became adulterous. He was faithful the whole time. See, when they got married in Mount Sinai, it was a betrothal. See, you don't have to be consummating the marriage physically. As soon as you come into a Hebrew understanding of a Hebrew wedding, then as soon as you accept the cup and as soon as you say, I do, you are as married. All you need to do is consummate it later. See, but here we see it. If we go back to the verse, you're going to notice the difference. And I saw for all the causes whereby backslidden Israel committed adultery. I have put her away. I have given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treasure sister Judah, fear not, but went and played the harlot also. You see the distinction between Israel and Judah? But it gets better. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land. That's why Israel got thrown out of the land. Because the land of Israel, it is the dowry of the bride. It is the promised land. That is the dowry of the new bride. When you get married, the first thing you do, you get a house for your wife. And you start setting up a house. And you know what I mean? I hope that's making sense to you. Now, what's interesting is, this says that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treasured sister Judah had not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly, says Yahweh. See? So now we have a difference between Judah and Israel. You see what I mean? That's why in Jeremiah 31:31 says, I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So let's keep going here to the screen. And in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 through 4 says this, when a man has taken a wife and married her, and it came to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send it out of his house. And when she is departed, verse 2, out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Okay, so Yahweh gave a bill of get to Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. And she goes out and marries somebody else. And I'm going to show you who they are in a minute. Deuteronomy 24:3 says, and if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and gives it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, in other words, her first husband, which sent her away, may not take her back, take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for it is an abomination before Yahweh. So let me go back a few. I want to show you something. So there it says, yet return to me again, says Yahweh. Cannot happen according to Scripture. It's against His commandment. It is against His commandment if He says, come back to me. He is a creator, but He is not going to break His own words, right? So what is the answer, you ask? Surely we have to find out. Let's go back to the screen before we get done here. It's going to be good. The first husband, divorce, right? In this case, we know as Messiah. Mount Sinai, the rabbis tell you that it was the word of Yahweh who gave the commandments of Mount Sinai, the Memra. And then in John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. See, John is making a correlation with Yeshua as being the same one that gave the commandment of Mount Sinai. So we know who is the groom, right? So therefore, the first husband divorced. Not all of Israel, only the northern kingdom. Judah is still around. Okay? The second husband divorce, so she can't remarry the first husband, right? According to what we follow, you're going to have to watch this again. Okay, now watch this. Her first husband is Yeshua. The second husband are the other gods. She can't remarry Yeshua. Now, let's talk about this real quick. The Samaritan woman and her five husbands. This is exactly what we're talking about. You see, there's Judea and there's Samaria. Samaria is composed of 10 tribes. Judea is composed of 2. So he meets her. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must need to go through Samaria. Why is that? He's trying to paint a picture. See, in the Joseph Klausner, in the Messianic Idea for Israel, says, he quotes in his book, says, the Samaritans, to be sure, most of them were descendants from the Ephraimites who had intermingled more or less with the Syrian colonists. You see? So now he's talking to the Samaritan woman. He says what? Yeshua said unto her, go and call thy husband. And come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is now your husband. Okay, so who are the five husbands of the of the Samaritan woman? That's what we need to find out, right? He meets her at a well. It's interesting. Rebecca meets Eliezer at a well. Moses meets his wife at a well. And then we see Yeshua meeting the Samaritan woman at a well. Very significant. Let's go back to the thing. To the screen, please. Now, the husbands of Israel are the fallen kingdoms of their gods. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Assyrians, the Egyptians. And the one that she had at the time when Yeshua was alive, who was leading Rome? Leading Israel was Rome, right? They took over Rome. So therefore, they worship all the gods of those kingdoms, and every single one of those kingdoms died. So when Israel worshiped their gods, right, they became idolaters, they committed spiritual adultery, and now they die. Those kingdoms die, so now they can't come back. So how did Messiah fix it? Okay, and exile means divorce. Leviticus 26, 14. If you will now hearken unto me, I will now do all these commandments. And look, Leviticus 26, 33 says, and I will scatter you among the heathens, right? So therefore, how did he fix this? He can't take her back, correct? There's one way. First husband, Yeshua. Second husband, the other gods. How will he return? The only way that Yeshua can redeem his adulterous wife, who married other gods and was exiled and divorced, and not violate his commandments, is to die. And then resurrect from the dead as a new man. Let me repeat that again before I get going here. The only way that Yeshua can take back Israel, not break the commandments given on Mount Sinai, was to resurrect from the dead and come as a new man, the last Adam. Hope you enjoy this. Come back to the next session. I think you're going to have a great time. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. It has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email, and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC, and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. Now, remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you, and I'll see you next time. Shalom.
This program was produced by and for God's Learning Channel. If you enjoy this program, we need your support to keep this program on GLC. Please make your checks out to God's Learning Channel, P.O. Box 61000, Midland, Texas 79711-1000. Please be sure to designate where your contribution is intended. It is very important to let GLC know which programs you enjoy and support.